And welcome back to issue 14 of TLDR. I am your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe. And as always, with me is my hunk and crime. And together, sir, we are the Woodward and Bernstein of the Dork Shared Gooniverse. Friar, my man, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Doc. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Been a little stressed out the past couple of days, but I think we're moving in the right direction here, but doing well.
Is that why you shaved everything but the mustache?
So the reason why I look like an old timey chimney sweep is
it's a good way to put it, yeah.
So fellow DSG member, one half of the Sunburn Boys, fellow streamer, Ryan Davey of the Dork Podcast is it's November, so he's doing his Movember Foundation charity as he always does, and for the past couple of years I've always contributed to it, and this year I decided and thought that as a shared Gooniverse, we should all, try and do our part. So I took the beard off. I, got the old soup catcher on there. Thick, viscous, looks nice. And I set up a Movember page of my own. So I'm part of Davey's team. So any money that I pull in will go right to Davey. So just to try and, help him reach his goal. He's doing it for a great cause, prostate cancer, men's mental health. And I'm happy and excited to help out.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Definitely a good cause. And I'll be donating to yours because then it goes to – you're helping out Davey, so then it'll go to Davey too and we'll be
– There we go. I appreciate it, baby. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So on a show note, though, we don't have a crazy week in terms of new stuff, but I am very, very excited to hear about the book that you have picked out that you've been waiting for you – I've been waiting for you to talk about for a while. Oops, I actually put it on there a little quickly. Whoa, yeah. My bad. If you're watching this on Twitch or Facebook, Twitter, whatever, you got to see a little early what Doc's going to be talking about. But
Little nip slip.
All right, where do you want to start? Actually, you know what? I know where we're going to start. We're going to start with the one Image book that you read this week because you're telling me a little bit about before the show. Yep. And I am very excited, and I think a lot of our listeners are going to want to read this thing.
Yeah, so this is there's been a bunch of buzz about this book. I think I may have mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but this is Donny Cates' Crossover. So Crossover number one came out this week, and man, it's a doozy. It's so good. The premise of the book is I'm 10 weeks now spoiler free, so I want to keep the ride going.
You can do but it.
The way it's described in the book is, imagine if a comic book event, like these events that we've talked about on this show, whether it's a summer event, a fall event, a comic book event became reality. If something happened, a cataclysmic event, whatever, and all of a sudden, all these fictional superheroes that we've spent our life reading are now here in reality with us. And all the stuff that goes on in that book, I don't want to spoil it, but that alone, I think, is a really great description and a premise, an awesome premise for a comic book. And I don't know how long this run is supposed to be, whether it's a mini series or I hope it's ongoing.
It's got to be ongoing. It has to be. It's stupid of an idea for it to not be ongoing.
Yeah. And so this is one of those books, and this is what good books do. When you finish reading issue one, you want issue two to be out there now. Mm-hmm. Right, you just want to keep reading. So the idea of waiting a month is going to be tough because just the setup for this was so good. So not to overhype it, but the premise and some of the characters you're introduced to, and what was bananas is this is an Image book, but they got away with talking about Marvel. And used Marvel and DC by name in the book.
By name? Holy shit.
It says Marvel. It says DC. Now, the characters they don't mention. Well, they do, actually.
You know so you know who – this is Image Comics. And obviously one of the founders of Image Comics is Todd McFarlane. And McFarlane has done this in the past where I know early on when he first started Spawn – now, this is obviously a much different time in terms of rights and everything. But he was able to – this is one image that I think is pretty famous that sticks out where you have a bunch of heroes from Marvel and DC. Their hands are sticking out in prisons of hell. Right,
so
And in Spawn Kills Everyone 2, which is the I think the third issue of that, I gave that a 5 on Geek's Worldwide, one of the my least favorite things I've ever read. he mentions, I believe, Marvel and DC in there, and he uses like the characters in a kind of like really close, like really close to what the actual characters are. So like if somebody's gonna know how to do it, it's him. So he's that image, like yeah. Kate's that image. So he's gonna, you know, he's gonna get to it.
They make reference, like they say, there's men in spider outfits and bat outfits, and it seems like they're not just like using characters from one, you know, studio or the other. It's like, just imagine all of them,
right,
just coming together. Like, think of how many discussions we've had or may have about mixing superheroes, right? Mm-hmm. Building things like that, right? And
right.
So the premise is absolutely fantastic. Donny Cates, who wrote Silver Surfer Black, which I enjoyed. I haven't read his Venom run, but that's just been getting tremendous reviews. I'll have to start picking up trades of that.
Yeah. Please do that, because I'm not a big Venom guy, so it's nothing against Cates. I'm sure I've read a little bit of his stuff, but nothing that comes to mind. But yeah. I've never been a big Venom guy, so I would love to know if this is worth my time, because generally speaking, just don't give Venom or Spider-Man even a whole lot of time. Not that I don't like Spider-Man, he's not a guy that jumps out to me. Carnage is my guy, if anybody, that I'm going to give a shot. But this sounds like a show or a movie, 1,000%. I mean, like we see the boy, and I know whether it was on Change My Mind with Wes or on Dork or on Mac and Goo, they talk about how with the boys – what would real life be like if we had superheroes? Right. Now, what is it like if you have the superheroes that we know were fake at one point, and now they might be – now they're real. That's a whole nother – it's similar, but a little – it's a slight twist in a very interesting direction.
And I thought about that connection earlier as I was reading the book and as I was getting ready, you know, to talk about it tonight. And, you know, with the boys, it's one of those things where – people, like, they know that they're there. Like, the setup is different. Like, people just, they're superheroes here. They live with them, and that's just what they know. This, like you said, it's just like, boom, they're here. What the hell? And it's not everyone's happy about it, right? So it's interesting. It was just a fascinating read, a great premise. Well, I mean, Donny Cates is just a great writer. And the art's good, because a little thing about the art is that you got the people that are, you know, the regular people are drawn like they would in a comic book, like, you know, but the superheroes, they're drawn sort of like that old school, like, comic. They had like all the pink dots on their face because the printers weren't great and things like that.
So
they it was an interesting, fascinating thing to do. And a way to distinguish between like how, you know, the people in reality look versus the superheroes that have come in. So just a tiny little detail like that, I thought was fantastic. So
I'm so frustrated I wasn't on top of this book right away. Like with Seven Secrets, where you're waiting for the first arc to finish before I talk, so I can talk about it on here. I'm going to do the same thing with Crossover, because in all honesty, I wasn't going to read it if you hadn't told me about it beforehand. So it's the same thing as the book that we're doing today. You told me about it, and I was instantly sold on it. I picked up the trade, but I have to wait till we can talk about it today. But that's Crossover. For those who are watching us on Doc's Twitch or Twitter, wherever, if you're just tuning in, Crossover. I'm very excited for it, and and the thing is, Doc, too, there's so many – look, there are plenty of original ideas that are good, but some of the best stories are when you take an idea that's been done, and then you twist it one way, and then maybe twist it a little bit in another direction, and then it's like, okay, I see where you came from, but it's its own unique story, and and that's what this is clearly, and I'm very excited for this. I'd be very disappointed if issue 2 is a letdown for you.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this book, real quick, is at the end, Donny Cates spends about a page and a half talking about how this book came to be and how he had a couple of near-death experiences over the past, you know, past several years. And so this book is really important and really special to him. So I'm hoping for continued greatness out of it.
I did not know that was the case. Okay, you've sold this one. So, see, now look at that. It's one issue. You didn't have to get into any spoilers. So you underestimate yourself sometimes. Right?
I'm learning.
You are the smartest guy in the DSG. After all, you're the only doctor. So anyways, so DC, this week I reviewed DC's Dead Planet 5, Hellblazer, Rise and Fall. Both of those are Tom Taylor. Hellblazer, Rise and Fall 2, excuse me. Both of those are Tom Taylor books. Very good. If you are a Batman Hush fan, which when I was texting you about it, you're like, who isn't a Batman Hush fan? I actually used that in my review for this for Geeks Worldwide, which that is a spoiler-free review because the first issue or one-off, I always try and do that with those. The Dark Multiverse, Batman Hush, issue one, again, one-off. Holy shit. Friggin' outstanding. Pick it up. Download it. However you guys read it, do it because this is I gave this a 10, Doc. I've never given any book on Geeks Worldwide a 10, with the exception of the never a comic book. The one book I've given is the X-Men the Animated Series book that just came out, the coffee table book. I gave that a 10. That's a little different. I've never given a comic book a 10 out of 10 until the Dark Multiverse Batman Hush.
Friggin'
outstanding.
It's just a one-off, so I thought it was a series. So I did something I haven't done in probably 20 plus years, and I stepped foot inside of Newbery Comics because my recollection of Newbery Comics when I was in high school was I went there for CDs, I went there for T-shirts, I went there for everything but comics. Mm. And so I had just assumed that Newbery Comics was – I have this thing. I hate stores that sell things that don't sell things that they're named after. Strawberries, BJ's, etc. So I just am like,
reading a bunch of bullshit false advertising. It's totally
right. So it never even crossed my mind to go into a Newbery Comics to do just that. And so I texted you like a week ago saying, does Toy Vault sell short boxes? I need some more short boxes. And you said, go to Newbery Comics. So I was like, oh, fuck. So I brought Swaggins with me yesterday, went in, and lo and behold, Newbery Comics. So I saw this. I was going to grab it because you had mentioned on a Comic Book Minute on Change My Mind. And I said, well, I'll hold off. Nick loved it. If he wants to talk about it on the show, this I was trying to,
here. Yes.
Oh, okay. Now that it's a one-off, I'm going to go pick that fucker up, baby.
Yeah, get it. They'll have enough too. They'll have enough for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's it's really good. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And for those of you guys reading, you'll find out or you'll see eventually. There's going to be another Tales from the Dark Multiverse. So it's going to be one that you're going to want to read again. I'll leave it at that. Outstanding. Like, seriously, if you like Batman, you like the Bat Family, you like Hush, all that stuff, pick it up. And if you hate it, like I know you won't hate it, Doc, but for our listeners, if you hate it, I want you to tell me because I'm gonna be friggin' stunned if you don't absolutely love this thing. It was so good. Now for Marvel, right? Usually we talk some Marvel books here and there. Obviously, you have Daredevil, which I am going to read the first trade of that. I have some other things, but I am gonna read it. I promise. I own it now. But we also had I had Deadpool 8 come out this week. This is one of my Deadpool's the one thing I've been reading over and over and over again. Doesn't matter because I love, he's a great character and he's usually written pretty well and, graphic and everything. But this week we also had two books that caught my eye. One that I brought up to Wes on Change My Mind. He was like, this one actually interests me. Like, Wes will never read it, but he's interested because he'd probably like to know more about this character because you might see him in Falcon and Winter Soldier, and that's U.S. Agent. And I wasn't going to get this, but after Wes brought it up, I was like, I saw it. And I was like, what the hell? I'll pick it up and see how it is. I got it the day we're recording this, and I got it late in the day, so I have not gone through it completely. But I'm reading through it, and it seems like it's fine right now. It seems more than anything right now like Captain America. U.S. Agent is a disappointment to everybody because they thought he was Captain America in the place that he was. So maybe there's a little bit of humor to it, which I wouldn't hate because, that's the tough part about Captain America and all this. Now, the other one that I knew I was going to pick up and I was very excited about, and I'm even more excited about having skimmed through some of the art in this, is Wolverine Black, White, and Blood. Now, you see the cover, Doc, is black, white, and red, of course, the blood, right, with Wolverine on it. And I skimmed through it because I want to make sure I get a look at the art. And we got there are three separate stories, and this is a little bit of a loaded issue, which is great. But I get to the fourth page, And for those watching us, I
mean, that's fucking awesome.
This shit is nuts. And it looks like we have a pre-X-Men story, a X-Men story, and then – or maybe X-Force, I don't know. And then a post-X-Men story when it's just Logan by himself. But I believe the first one is written by or drawn by Adam Kubert, I believe is how you say his name. But we got Jerry Duggan, Matthew Rosenberg, and then Declan Shalvey on as the writers on the three stories within this. So I'm very excited for this. The art looks pretty awesome. Black and white, Wolverine, and just blood is the only other color involved. I mean, red?
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, that looks awesome. That looks absolutely awesome.
Now we go over to Boom, and there's Mighty Morphin issue one, which I am going to read. Have not read yet. Again, there's other things that I am trying to read in the course of everything, including the book that I'm talking about today I wanted to go through. From what I've seen, it looks like we're dealing with a Green Ranger that is not Tommy. And Tommy is the White Ranger in this. So, and it seems like there are a couple other things at play from what I got. Not entirely sure. I will report back on that. But there is another Boom issue one that came out this week, and I'm curious if you picked it up.
I did pick it up. So Origins number one. And okay. Like you, I haven't had a chance to read it yet because I've been trying to read some other things. And it's, with all the shit that's going on, I've been a little wrapped up in that. So, but this is two cases, two Boom number ones, and we've each grabbed one. So I'll definitely mention this next week on the show. It's another post-apocalyptic story. It looks like the art looks great. So I think it's the premise of it. I'm trying to remember from reading the solicit real quick. Is that again? There's like one guy, left on Earth, and they bring him back to, or he's actually a dead guy, and they bring him back to life, and they've got to sort of go from there. So I'm not doing the book justice there, but it sounds interesting. And I'm definitely looking forward to reading it, and I'll report back on it next week for sure.
Okay. Now the one I need a real report on is, I don't know where Swaggins is, but I need to know about the IDW book that she picked out this week.
You son of a bitch.
You put it on the list. You put it on the list.
I know. Stop. I'm saying that because you busted my balls on Change My Mind on Monday. So I brought Swaggins with me to Newbury Comics, and she, when I go to my other comic shop, Hub Comics over in Somerville, I would always try and grab books for her. So she's got a nice little stack, and when I'm reading my comic book, she always goes, grabs hers, sit on the couch, and she opens up hers and pretends to read. So it's really fun for me, and so I brought her with me, and Newbury Comics has zero, I mean zero kids books, but they did have My Little Pony Transformers. Swaggins, okay. So number four that came out this week, Swaggins grabbed it. She loves the art. She's been carrying it around the house with her over the past 2 days. So that came out this week. And also from IDW, I mentioned this one only because you've mentioned it on the show a few times in the past. I'm not reading it. I don't know if you're reading it, but Batman the Max.
I'm so confused by this. I thought this was supposed to be a 3-issue series, and then they had like a post. It's like,
It's like 5 out of 5. So
I have no idea what the hell is going on there. I know nothing about the Max. He looks like a cool character. But
He's been around for a long time. It was never a character I read or anything like that. Maybe if you show me a picture, I can go, yeah, that's the Max, but that's about it.
Yes, he has a very distinct look. I know nothing about him other than he has his crossover with Batman and his IDW. Now, one last thing with IDW, and I actually saw this today when I went to go pick up my stuff, and I didn't know there was going to be a second run with this character. Is it Janika, the female Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? Janika. Okay. Yeah. Did you read the first? It was a 3.
No, but I want to. I'm going to pick up that trade, and then I'll probably wait until – well, I think what I'll do is I'll pick up that trade, and if I like it, I'll wait until this run has come to its conclusion and then pick up that trade. But
I want to know what you think about this. Seriously. So if I don't know if a 3-issue story warrants a full review. I don't know if you'll be able to do that, but I want to hear about Janika.
If I like it and then the second arc is good, I can kind of combine the both maybe. Combine the two of them and do it that way. So there's some ways we can pull this off.
I mean, you know what's making me think about right now is freaking Last Ronin, and I want the next issue of that to come out. I don't know when that is, but I want that so bad. Oh.
I know.
Right. Over at Dark Horse this week, we have Assassin's Creed Valhalla Song of Glory issue 2, which I totally forgot this was coming out this week. I read the first one. I enjoyed it. I don't know if everybody's going to like it. It's like, my thing is like, you're going to love it. And I don't love it, but I like it. And because I get, you know, access to a lot of review copy, I will read this.
Yeah.
Now I know, and I'm so bummed because I can't seem to find the second issue of this, but Cyberpunk 2077 Trauma Team issue 3 is out. How has that been so far?
The first two issues have been great. Again, this is another book that I didn't do as much reading this week as I would have liked. This is a book. This is a good solid series. I don't know if it's a TLDR level, mm-hmm. you know, like that one that I would want to spend an issue on. But so far, it's a thumbs up, and it's a good book. I know it's there's the Cyberpunk video game that's going to be coming out that actually got delayed a little bit.
Right. Keanu's involved in that somehow.
Keanu's in it, I believe.
Yeah, I thought he was part of. I thought he backed it or whatever, or was one of the creators. Or where the hell? We're in November. Where the hell is Berserker? I thought that was supposed to come out in October.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really pissing me off because I'm looking forward to this thing, which is now. The more it gets delayed, making me a little nervous.
They did the Kickstarter campaign and all this too. There's no way they're not going to do it. I haven't seen any news on it. I haven't heard anything. Like
I'm getting nervous about the quality of it, not whether it's going to come out or not.
Oh, you know,
that's my only concern.
Well, we get the first issue and then we see what happens, and then we'll talk about it. I don't know. We're both getting in on it from the jump. There's not going to be a TLD episode on that, more than likely. Now the last thing, well, actually two other things from Dark Horse: Stranger Things, in Dungeons and Dragons. Issue one. So I guess they're doing a bunch of Stranger Things one-offs so far. I don't know. I'm not reading any of these, but again, if there are Stranger Things fans out there, we all like the show. If you want to read more about those characters, by all means. And then there's one other book that I saw you actually tweet about today or the other day.
I did. So I've mentioned it once or twice on the show. It's called Bang, right? With an exclamation point.
Like Mike Green, Bang! I can't do this.
Bang! Yeah. Way back! No. I haven't read this one yet because I'm not caught up yet. I've been reading. It's issue number 5 came out this week, written by Matt Kint. Right? Is that how you say his name? Right? Kint. And I tweeted it, and he tweeted back at me, which was really cool. And so this book so far is awesome. I don't want to there's a twist to it that I'm not going to say because I don't want to give anything away, but it's a good spy thriller. And the first two books seem at first like they're independent of each other, but then like they're two different stories. Like there's some comics that do that. There was this comic that I read that they stopped making called Fair Lady, and each issue was just a standalone issue. And that's the vibe I got when I started reading this, and then all of a sudden it came together. So there's a very interesting twist to this book. It's a fun read, very exciting. I'm very excited to pick up issue 5 and finish this. But I would highly suggest if you like good spy action sort of books, this would be right up your alley.
Bang. Okay, I think.
Bang, baby.
I think I want to have an episode on this, so maybe. So I think I'm going to wait till you're ready to do it, because it sounds like a good idea. I haven't seen the art on this yet, so
yeah, it's good art. Yeah, everything about it is just.
I'm sure it's good art, Doc, but it's just a matter of it is like I as much as I'm open to giving different like artistic styles an opportunity. Yeah. It's just a matter of does it all mesh well perfectly?
Do they all have long fucking necks, right?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, speaking of shit that hasn't been out in a while, when was the last issue of Die? Is that normally a monthly too, right?
Normally a monthly, but Die has done this a couple of times throughout its run, so you've had the benefit of just being able to pick up the trades. So Die's on issue, 14? But it's been out for like 2 years. So they've taken some hiatuses, throughout the course of the series. So, I mean... They should
Why didn't
be.
You tell me that beforehand? I'm gonna kill you when I see. honestly, everybody, like, I really enjoyed some of the books that Doc.
But like a month or two, you know what I mean? Like it's not like these prolonged things, but like by now long. You would think they'd be like on issue 20, 21, somewhere around there. But yeah,
I've enjoyed the books that I've read that you've recommended. But I'm telling, like, it was awesome. It was a no-brainer. Like when you brought it up and confirmed me, like, yes, this is a good book. But man, when I read Die, and I just can't stop. Like, it's just, I want to read more of that friggin' book. So, Kieran Gillen,
he's got that. He's got
Once a Future.
Once a Future. You know, he's got, you know, many fingers and many pies, baby.
I know.
Now, would that be Hiatus? With the Davey?
I would think it's kind of, I mean, we're dealing with actually Latin and English teacher, so or professor maybe. Right here's a guy like Cappy, could be a professor, or could at least pretend to be one. But anyways, I like Die a lot. It was, and I really need the next issue to come out. Yeah. But maybe something that can hold me over is the book that you're going to talk about today, because now I will have the green light to read this. Because you've talked about it on TLDR, Doc, and this is a company too. I've talked a lot about TKO. You talk a lot about AWA, and this is the first AWA book you're doing, Archangel 8.
Yeah, so AWA is, cheapest. They're not even a year old. I think they started January, February, somewhere around there. And so I wanted to pick something by the studio to kind of get a feel for what type of books they were going to put out. Remember, we talked about Garth Ennis is part of AWA, and I don't know if it's AWA and Upshot, if they're two different entities working under the same umbrella. But this was the first book I picked up because I loved the cover.
And which
the tweet I sent out, right? And right here,
yeah. If you're watching this on the Twitch stream, right? I mean, right now it's that's as bad as it gets, right there.
Yeah.
I mean, angel with a grenade launcher. That's going to get my attention.
Yeah, and it's only five issues. So the trade is out, and this book is it's bananas, man, and it is awesome. And so this was written by Michael Morici. The artist is C.P. Smith, and the colorist is, I love this name, Snakebite Cortez.
Ooh.
And I was trying to, like, think about how, you know, I would just describe this book and describe the characters. And when I was going back and rereading it at the end of issue one, I missed this the first time around. The writer describes Archangel 8. That's the name of your main protagonist. He describes him as a combination of Constantine and Punisher.
Oh, my God. And, that's the worst human being I've ever heard in my life.
And a lot of his inspiration came from Garth Ennis's run of Punisher. Okay. So when you read it, he's not like when he talks about Punisher, I think it's more about sort of the grittiness of the overall comic. When you look at it,
when I look at the character, I see Punisher with Angel.
Yeah. Right. But he's not a dickhead. He's not malicious like Punisher is. Like Punisher, they're the same in the fact that they have their code and they're going to stick to it and they're going to follow it, right? But Archangel 8 is a much more subdued version of Punisher, if that makes sense.
Okay, so hold up. You said so this guy is a combination of the Punisher and John Constantine. Let me take a sidestep here. If I said someone's a combination of Superman and Captain America, you would say something like they're, you know, a really good person, right?
Yeah.
So if I combine Constantine and the Punisher, I would think, yes, that person is guaranteed a dickhead. So how the hell is this guy without spoiling it, not a dickhead?
Yeah. I think my experience with Constantine is limited because I just read, you know, I've only really read the book that you
City of Demons.
Thank you. And my feeling from reading Constantine in that is that, yeah, like he might be a dink, but when I think of it, I think of his demeanor. He's a more calm, cool, and collected.
Ah, fair enough.
Okay. In that way, he's not like this over the top. Punisher could be over the top. Punisher could be balls to the wall. And so the way I think that this character is in line with Punisher is that he's got a mission and he's going to follow it. And he doesn't, I mean, if he's got to kill people, he's going to kill people. Right? But he's got that, just that more calm, cool, rational demeanor about him.
Okay. So with Punisher, where he's like, I'm going to get it done at all costs. And Constantine's always like, I'm going to get it done. I'm just going to do it on my own time and how I feel like doing it. I'm never really worried. So like it's like the determination, but at the same time, the extremely steady hand and working at his own pace and everything.
Yes. Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo.
I like that.
And,
okay.
And so what this story is about is Archangel 8. He's He's an angel. He's an angel of God, but he's a fixer. He's a hitman, right? He talks about himself a lot in that this is due to things that he's done in his path, his past. This is the path that he's on, and he has to do it. So he might not always enjoy what he's doing, but he does it because that's his mission, mm-hmm. right? And that so he's a fixer, he's a hitman, and so what I wrote in my notes was another. So this is very it's biblical in a sense. Like last week, I talked about Giga and how I didn't like that because it was overly religious.
No, this is that kind of. This is the kind of biblical religious stuff that I would like.
Exactly, right? Like, whereas Giga was a little preachy and culty, this, you know, has religious tones to it. The character, I mean, Gabriel, who is one of the characters, I sort of describe him as M from James Bond. You know, person behind the scenes that, okay, this is your mission, you know, you're going to go do this, right? And so the book starts off with him, with Gabriel handing Archangel 8 an envelope. And not a lot of details, but this is your mission. Go. And Archangel 8 has a little bit of, not resistance, but he's kind of questioning the job a little bit. And Gabriel goes, it's not your job to question. Do your fucking job. And do it. Right. So that's the tone. And so through it's a five book arc, and the story is that Archangel 8 has to he's got to do his mission, and throughout I don't want to give anything away, so you know, throughout the book there's some twists, there's some turns. One of the other characters is Delmar. It takes place in the Ozarks, and so his mission is to locate this drug dealer.
Okay.
And that's all I'll really say, because there's a lot more to it, but he's got a mission and he kills, and it gets a little violent at times. But it's so raw. It's so gritty. It's so good. This idea that an angel of God is being used as a fixer, as a hitman for Gabriel, you know?
Okay. Now I have two questions. Now, if answering them is spoilerish, then by all means, just tell me what are the type of individuals that Archangel 8 is targeting? Are we dealing with like demons, or are we dealing with humans more so?
Humans. Okay. Sort of giving God some plausible deniability for some mistakes he may have made. Right. And so Archangel 8's got to go in and take these people out.
Gotcha.
Or it might be, you know, that he gets sent out to sort of steer things, you know, steer some people down, you know, certain paths. But that's sort of his job. He's to go in. He's got to fix fuck ups. He's got to, you know, his mission is to kill this person or kill that person or
okay
this person again, you know. So
okay,
a lot goes on, but it's so good.
And then Gabriel's the one who's kind of handing things down, not so much God.
Yes.
God.
But it's a chain, right, sort of thing, you know. But like I said, you know, Gabriel is sort of like, you know, M from James Bond. You know, just behind the desk, here's your mission, you know. Very, very cool premise, very gritty, very raw. Like I said, the art is great. The art is dark, you know, a lot of dark colors in it. And then having these sort of like I think the brightest things that you see in this comic are, you know, the angel's wings, you know, on the cover. And there's some really great twists and turns in this that, Nick, when you read it, you're going to get to the end of it, and I want you to tell me if you don't like it, because I'll be shocked as shit.
I'll know I like
it. If you don't like this.
Yeah, I know I like that. I saw a preview and looked at the art a little bit. Like, I didn't really read much of it, but I you told me about it. Like, I gotta look at this.
And it's not over the top with the religious stuff. Like Archangel 8, Gabriel, some of the names, you know, of the characters are religious. Obviously, you know, some of the imagery, you know, especially on the cover right there with the wings, but it's got more of that, like I said, Punisher kind of feel to it when you're reading it, when you're looking at it.
That's what I personally
tell like the inspirations from.
I like those a lot. I mean, that there's a reason that I like Constantine so much, and that like he deals with paranormal and he deals with religious stuff like that. To me, Preacher obviously goes in such a bizarre direction, but that's why we like Preacher so much too. those kinds of things are great. Like I don't care if religious tones are awesome, but when you're talking about like, preachy stuff with Giga, that's a whole nother ball of wax. Like that, I don't necessarily have time for. But the Archangel 8 is right up my alley, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm very, very excited about this.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about the book that people should know? You already told me.
Yeah, you know, it's also a story of redemption, right? Because like I said, he's mentioned a lot of times that he has to accept, you know, his duty as Archangel 8 because of choices and things that he's done in his past. And he's doing these things to try and redeem himself so that one day he doesn't have to do this anymore and he can sort of move on. So there's great character work, you know, in this book, protagonist, antagonist, you know, Gabriel is a very interesting character, and it was very well written, very well drawn. This is a book that is, I mean, worthy of being on TLDR, because it's the kind of books that I think fit the show perfectly because you might not ever heard of AWA Upshot Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a book that people very easily could miss. This is a book that we missed. You know, if it wasn't for, you know, the guys, you know, John and DJ over at Brightside Chat talking about AWA Studios all the time, I would never knew they existed, to be honest with you. And I'm glad that they've talked about them so much because looking at their catalog of books, now that I've read this, I'm going to go back. I'm going to read more. I'm going to pick more titles, and hopefully I'm talking about them on the show because these are the kind of books that I think people like you, myself, and the people watching and listening, you know, this is the kind of books that's easily missed. Mm-hmm. And these are great stories, and they're nice because I think most of the books on there are, you know, 5-6 ARC books, and they're all in trades, so much like TKO.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's why TKO has, like, you know, we started off with Sarah, and I talked about Seven Deadly Sins, and I have more that I'm going to be talking about too. I know I own two others that I'm going to be reading and I will be talking about. And then there's some, I think, Lonesome Days, Dark Nights or Long Nights, whatever it was. The one of the books from the third wave that's coming out next week, actually, the week after we're recording this issue, they're going to be coming out. So I'm very excited for all that. And you're right, Doc. I mean, these smaller publishers, they're going to get lost in the cracks. But that's why we do this show. I mean, and that's stuff that we like because they generally have the better stories. They're not characters you necessarily know as well, but people are going to continue to see those stories. Like we saw with The Old Guard on Netflix, right?
Yep.
These companies, they're going to see the success of The Boys. I'm sure The Old Guard did pretty well, you know, especially in the pandemic when it came out, when people had nothing to watch. These smaller stories. I mean, Undiscovered Country is already optioned for a show or a movie. I forget what Scott told us, but it's going to continue to happen. Archangel, I could absolutely see that.
Yeah, and that's why I love indie studios and indie books so much because they give us new stuff, original stuff, and it's just not the same, tape all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I think there's always going to be a place for the superhero stuff for people for us. But it's just which characters do we want to invest in? You know, I have Red Hood. You have Daredevil. I'm gonna go get into Zdarsky's Daredevil too because you know you're loving it. And I like the character a lot. So it's just you have certain characters you stay loyal to. Sometimes you give other ones a new chance. If there's new Deathstroke stuff that comes out, you know, and after Future State or whatever, I'll give Deathstroke stuff a chance always. But when it comes to getting new books and giving new titles chances, We're going to look at Boom. We're going to look at Image. And now, you know, TKO, for me, I'm always interested in what TKO is bringing to the table, especially when you get Garth Ennis given his stamp of approval. Now AWA with this, again, where you have Garth Ennis attached to it, you know, very, very much interested. All right, so that brings us to my book that I have picked out for this week. And this got brought up early in the week. I think I saw artwork from actually the guy who did the artwork for Batman, Tales from the Dark Multiverse, Batman Hush, Dexter Soy, which for me, Doc, I think I've told you this.
Yep.
If Dexter Soy is like, we have certain writers where if they write something, I'm going to give it a chance. At least the first issue, first trade, whatever it is, I'm going to give it a chance. With Dexter Soy, if I see his artwork on something, if he's drawing something, then I'm very much inclined to give it a chance. So I saw that. I shared this photo. I'm trying to get it pulled up for the stream. I apologize for my delaying, but I saw him share this photo, and I was like, I haven't seen this in a while, and I remember reading this, and I remember telling you that I was going to talk about it, and that's Mortal Kombat 5. And I'm sorry, Mortal Kombat X, so Mortal Kombat 10. Oh, Nick, get the picture set up. I apologize for everybody who just listened to us on the audio stream. So this is I don't know who Scorpion is fighting in this moment, but when
his face being exploded.
Yeah, exactly. So I shared this, and then we got a little reaction on Twitter, and then you, of course, tweet out, "Oh, what? This would have been a good book for Darktober." I was like, "Well, wait a second. One, it's not scary, and two,
but it's violent, you know."
And two, I've told you I told you for a while that I had this book. You know, I had it. Wait in the waiting.
I should be holding your hand about what books to read, Nick. Come on.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I just I didn't want to. I don't know why. I just, you know, it's one of those books that I've wanted to talk about, but I want to try and mix it up. We don't want to double up on DC, and there are other books that I figured people would be more interested in. So, Doc, you are not a big Mortal Kombat guy in general, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I was a Street Fighter guy over a Mortal Kombat guy. I mean, we've talked about numerous times on the show, especially during Dorktober, how much of a pussy I am. Pardon my French. And so there was two reasons why I didn't play Mortal Kombat. One, I don't think my parents would actually let me have it because of the violent nature of it, which is surprising because they usually let me get away with a lot. But two, the fucking combos, man. Like I would just get so frustrated trying to do the finishers.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what? No. Yeah. Give me Street Fighter. For me, that just was more comfortable. It wasn't as gruesome. You know, it was a big big Blanca guy because I like doing across the screen. So I was just always a Street Fighter guy over a Mortal Kombat guy. Just was never really my cup of tea. So I when I saw all the buzz, you know, and all the reactions you got on Twitter about that, I was like, Nick, you gotta do this book. And I'm fascinated because I wonder what the hell a Mortal Kombat book would be about.
Finish him. Oh, that stuck. I was waiting the whole time to do that, and I choked.
Finish him.
That's better. All right. Anyways, So I didn't read this book when it came out, which I believe was this. 36 issues to this, read them all on the DC Universe app if you have it. And I hadn't read this. I actually saw it in the store and I was like, oh, someday I'm going to read that. I'm not a big Mortal Kombat guy either. I really wasn't. But I saw this in the store. I was like, I'm definitely going to pick that up at some point because Scorpion and Sub-Zero have such a badass look. And I mean, how can you not, you know, be interested in those characters in some capacity? So I played the games as a kid, and I think I played the first one that was ever on. I think it was on Sega, and I think it wasn't a fighting game. It was like one of the old school games where you walk across the screen and you fight a character, and then you know once you go to a certain point on the map, you can't go backwards. It was one of those games, and Sub-Zero was the hero, and so I've always been rattled when somewhere along the line Scorpion became the guy, and I was like, wait a minute, I thought Scorpion was the bad guy in all this. Right. I thought which one's the Lin Kuei? No, he's the Lin Kuei's the Sub-Zero's group. Anyways, so I was confused. So then Scorpion's Revenge comes around, and I've played the games for years. I enjoy them, but I just like you know how I am with video games. I can get really sucked into them, so I kind of avoid them. I learned like at one point in college. So Scorpion's Revenge comes around, and I end up watching it. We end up doing a review for it on Change My Mind. That's episode 69, which is
perfect.
Wes hated the movie, which that's like the, you know, whatever. Take it with a grain of salt. I loved it. And I anybody who likes action, like you're going to have a fun time. Mac will hate it because Mac doesn't like action for the sake of action. But it's very true to the game where it's violent. And you get more of a backstory to Scorpion, although we kind of knew some things about his relationship with Sub-Zero and how things happened, you know, how he kind of became Scorpion. But we get to see some other characters. We see Sonya Blade. We see Johnny Cage. I'm all over the place. And I liked it. So they're like, all right, you know what? It's time. Is this on the DC Universe app? Yes, it's on the DC Universe app. I'm going to go read this thing. And I just sat down and I just plowed through this thing like it was nothing. 36 issues. And I absolutely loved it. We have Sean Kittleson. We have as a writer, Dexter Sawyer drew the majority of this, and even when he wasn't on it, it was still good. But I mean, I never like to see like him. If he's on something, I want to see him finish it because he's part of the reason why I showed up in the first place. Daniel Semperi, and then Igor Vitorino, I believe is how you say his name. And then I think there was like various colors and art and letters on this, so I did not write that down. I apologize for that. So we're dealing with Scorpion, Sonya Blade, Johnny Cage, Cassie Cage, Kotal Kahn, Jackie Bridge, and Takeda. Those are your main characters, I would say, you see in this. We see quite a bit of Sub-Zero. We see a lot of Raiden as well. And I'm sure there are a lot of names there, Doc, that mean absolutely nothing to you. But you know some of them, right? You know Raiden.
I know most of them. Yep, Raiden and Sonya and Johnny Cage. Yeah, I know the main group of characters.
So Takeda is the son of Kenshi, who's another warrior. Then you have Jackie Briggs, who's the daughter of Jax Briggs, you know, the guy with the metal arms. And then Cassie Cage, as you can probably figure out, Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage's daughter. Kotal Kahn is the ruler of Outworld, and then you got Earthrealm. It's all confusing how they do it, but we get like, so if you like the game, you see the full, like a ton of these characters. We see a little bit of Jax. We see Kenshi very briefly, but you get Goro, the guy who's got the forearms. We have Reiko. We have Devora, Reptile, Melina, who's friggin' nuts. And one of the guys who I absolutely love, I saw him first in the Mortal Kombat app. I have that, and that's one of my favorite games I have on my phone. But Aaron Black, he's like this cowboy looking dude, and he always wears a bandana. He's just a badass. Maybe not so much in this book, but he's a badass. Either way, so yeah, Doc, you know, you asked yourself, what is this going to be about? I was thinking the same thing. You have Scorpion, who's kind of dealing with his own thing, and it's him and Takeda, and they're working through some stuff, and they have some shit thrown in their way, and you get the feeling that they're working towards what everybody else is kind of dealing with, but coming at it from a different angle and more so by himself. And Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage are dealing kind of with Kotal Kahn, and they don't want to be dealing with him. Not that they don't get along. It's just, you know, we have our Earthrealm problems. You go deal with Outworld. Like, just leave us out of it, please. And their hands are forced in all of it. And it's basically a battle for the safety of all the realms and who's going to be in charge and all that kind of stuff. And a lot, it just takes a lot of twists and turns along the way and a lot of just shit ton of action. And I absolutely love it.
Nice. So,
it's not like this crazy in-depth. Again, I feel like I've done it a little bit more where we're not talking about these crazy in-depth like looks at characters or social commentaries, which we do talk about that on here. We love those. But this is more just like you're dealing with an action movie. And with Mortal Kombat, it's like, I don't know a ton of backstory to these characters. There's some, but not a whole heck of a lot. And they used to have comic books, I think it was Midway Comics, you know, years ago, and I never read those. So it's like, okay, this is like a whole new thing for me. So let me see the universe. Let me see what's going on. And I would love to see them do more with this property down the line. I think they will, at least for the animated movies.
Right. Now, is this collected in a couple of trades or an omnibus or anything like that?
I saw it first in a store, and I think it was in an omnibus. So I don't know if there are trades. I got, like I said, I read it all in the DC Universe app, so I just, you know, scroll through
just rip through it. Yeah, I'll see if it's on Comixology. Maybe I'll give it a go because I think, too, right, we read a lot of heady books. We read a lot of sort of intense books, but every now and then, a good mindless action book, especially if it's drawn well, is entertaining as hell, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, from everything on Twitter, you know, Jacob Morocco and Mark C, who we, Mac and I always joke, we call him Marcy. You know, respond. I mean, it seems like it's got a good following, right? It's got a bit of a
When you're dealing with this kind of artwork, again, it's extra short.
Well, yeah, that art is actually fantastic. That's much better than what I would have expected when you said, "Oh, I'm doing a Mortal Kombat."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you got. I mean, look, you got. If you're doing Mortal Kombat, you're going to have a ton of action. You're going to have a lot, and it's going to be very.
Well, yeah. You kind of expect goriness and just, you know, blatant violence, but I mean, that is really well drawn, man. That is,
yeah.
And some of the pictures you sent me so that I could, you know, put the tweet out earlier. There was some. That was awesome. So, two books today, both with very different art, but
yeah,
great art.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. And I got a question for you. Now, I know you don't play, but you've seen plenty of characters. Do you have a favorite character? Like, if you were to play me right now, and I'm not talking like Terminator or Spawn, who are on the new ones, which I think it's really cool that they're doing all of that. But do you have a normal or standard Mortal Kombat character that you would go with if we were to fight right now?
So I was always a basic bitch. I would always go Sub-Zero. That was because I could do the finisher or the finish him, and I could do some of the other combos with him better than, you know, I could with some of the other characters. So yeah, I was always Sub-Zero. Plus, I like the way he looked too.
That's awesome.
Little fun fact about the Doc: favorite color is blue. You know, so Sub-Zero. You know, boom. I'm gonna go there and
okay.
But yeah, I never played a ton of it, but that was always the character I would use, whether it was at the arcade or on Sega or whatever.
They have quite a few characters rather now that look like Sub-Zero and Scorpion. They have I forget the red one's name, but he's in it, but he has a slightly different look. He's like a warlock sort of dude. Then there's Rain, who I'd never heard of before, but I saw the trailer for that when Rambo got and Melina got added to, you know, MK11. And then there's a fifth one that has that same kind of, you know, ninja look. And they, I would probably go with Scorpion. So we'd be rolling. We'd be good. I know
Wesley Jack too. Guy.
Raiden's cool.
Yeah, I liked Raiden. That was another one I could do with the lightning bolts and all that shit.
I want to see what Aaron Black is like. I don't know. I haven't gotten him on the Mortal Kombat mobile game yet, but I would like to give him a shot. But I mean, Johnny Cage is also, you know, he's pretty fun. But I saw your Blade. So, in the, have you watched the animated movie yet?
I have not.
Don't watch it with Swaggins. One, two. Sonya Blade is a friggin' badass in that movie. I don't think Wes liked her that much, but you know, I loved her.
When the wife goes to bed one night, I'll pop it on and give her a go.
Nice. Awesome. That's what I like to hear. All right. So are you playing? I'm very disappointed, by the way, that you lost that Madden game. Did you lose to Billy too? I didn't watch it yet.
I played Billy the other night and we had to play twice. This happens from time to time when I play Billy for some reason, his internet shits the bed, quote unquote.
One of those guys. Okay.
He was up 21-14. And so Billy's really good at Madden. And I had gotten to the point where I really kind of didn't give a shit whether I won or lost. But I was playing really well against Billy. And then the internet died. We had to start over again. And I was kind of on a time crunch because I was going to go play Among Us with Shime afterwards. And so I wasn't as into it. So he whooped my ass the second game. But I was mostly on chew clock just trying to get the game over with. And then you popped into the stream last night. I played a fellow Barf League member Sam, and that was a great game, back and forth. And I was down by a touchdown with 2 minutes left, and I made the bold claim that I was going to send the game to overtime. And then Max said, "Go for two." If I get down there, I'm going for two. And I thought I had the play, and so I lost by one because I wanted to big dick it, and I shrimp ganged it.
Would you listen to Mac?
Because Mac hasn't lost in Madden in, like, you know, 3.5 seasons.
Are you Mac, though?
Well, you know, I got a little carried away, you know. But
you know, I wanted you to beat that guy so bad. Because when I watched it, it's the first quarter, he threw an onside kick. Who?
I know, that really pissed me off.
Zero class. I was so pissed.
I'm going to take a little break. I'll be streaming tonight around 8:45, and I will be playing Mac in Madden. What sparked, I was on Mac shitless for a while because in Madden 20, he was the Chargers. That was his team. He got a Derwin James jersey. Some chicanery happened so that when we got Madden 21, I had the second over. I was screwed out of the first pick, so I had the second pick, and so I took the Chargers despite Mac. Mm-hmm. But all that did was enrage him and force him to take the Chiefs. So he's even better now than he was before, but he's lifted the embargo. So he refused to play me in the user games, and we're in the same division. But he's playing me tonight, so that'll be on 8:45. One last thing I want to mention: I started the show off with this. I don't know if Davey's still in here, but I just wanted to remind people: if you're watching me on Twitch, you can click on the About Me tab. What you'll see is the Movember logo. You can click on that. That will take you to my Movember page, where I'm on Ryan Davies' team. I've got a small goal set. Any money that people donate to me will go right to Davies' Movember Foundation charity. So he's raising awareness for prostate cancer and for men's mental health. It's a really great thing that he does year in and year out. That's why I've got the stash. I wanted to, help support him. And this is some small way, in addition to my own donation, that I can try and help him out. So, if you go to @RvonD on Twitter, he's got a link to his Movember page there. There's one on my Twitch page as well. And if you all please just consider, whether it's $5, $10, whatever, it's a big help. It's going to a great cause, and I greatly appreciate it.
You are a gentleman and a scholar.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And until next time, stay sexy.
You know it.